Pause I Am Radio with your host, Robert Brining, sharing stories from across the United States and around the world. To join the conversation, call 929-477-3572. That's 929-477-3572. Each week, we'll bring you our exclusive HIV scoop with Josh Robbins and your positive message from Rise Up to HIV and Kevin Maloney. Your weekly dose of hope. Pause I Am Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this December 3rd edition of Pause I Am Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. I'm here today. We just passed World AIDS Day, December 1st. What a great day it is for us living with HIV to kind of come out and talk about it, and it really brings the HIV AIDS stigma, PrEP, the U equals U, that conversation was really brought to the table on Friday, December 1st. I saw a lot of news articles, campaigns online. People were really getting involved, and it really made me proud. I actually had to work on December 1st at my bakery, but I was actually, I went to the bank to make a deposit in the middle of the day, and when I came back, all of my employees had red ribbons on, and, you know, it made my heart smile because they all were showing their support for me, you know, and for those that we have lost to the disease. It was an incredible feeling to have that kind of support at my work, and that's one thing that I'll miss if I ever leave there, is like that family environment. Having that support and being HIV positive is something that is very important, and I'm sure today's guest, Mary Bowman, will account to that and speak about that. I'm excited to have Mary on again. I was looking back in the archives to see when we actually had Mary on the first time, and it was actually on my birthday, so it was on May 20th in 2012. So it's been over 5 years since we've spoken with Mary, and I am excited to have her on. She has a new book coming out, Emerge. When she was on previously, she had, I believe it was her first book of poems coming out, which was Lotus. I remember hearing Mary speak in Dallas. I believe it was in Dallas? Fort Worth. I don't know. It was somewhere in Texas, and she was speaking at the Napa, and it was the first time I ever heard anybody live do spoken word, and I was captivated from the moment she opened her mouth and started sharing her story with her poetry. It kind of put an anchor in my heart and sat with me, and I remember immediately thinking, and at the time Jeremy Dunn used to host the show with me, and I looked over at Jeremy and I was like, we got to get her on the show. It was amazing, and he agreed. And I remember going up to her. We had a book. She signed it for us, and it all began there. And I think that was the beginning of her journey with HIV. I believe her activism. Let's go ahead. I see Mary's on hold now. So let me just tell you a little bit about Mary. Mary Bowman is an internationally recognized motivational speaker, singer, and poet. She's a native of Washington, D.C. She draws from her personal experience, both transparent and vulnerable. Whether it's within her poetry or song, her words allow her to access spaces that aren't traditionally artistic. From local open mic nights to international conferences and beyond, and even here on Pause I Am Radio, Mary shares herself openly and proudly. So please help me welcome Mary Bowman to the show. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Good, honey. How are you doing? Yeah.
Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
I can hear you. I can hear you perfectly fine. How you been?
I've been awesome. How about yourself?
I've been great. I can't believe it's been 5 years, you know, after looking back. Years, it's been that long. It's crazy.
I know. When you said it, I was just like, wow, that's a lot of time that has passed. And yeah, I've seen you since Dallas, right?
No, I don't think we have. I don't know if we've ran into, were you at the International AIDS Conference in 2012?
Yes, I was.
I may have seen you there. But yeah, since then, I haven't really been out too much, you know, since coming back last year. I kind of took some time off, but you've been a busy little bee since I've been gone, I see.
Yes, busy. I like it. I love it.
So you have, you had Love Boats come out in 2014. That was when we were off the air. Talk a little bit about that, because I know we want to talk about Emerge, but I don't know anything about this, what that was, that collection of poetry. So tell me about that.
So Love Boats was actually my introduction of my musicianship to the world. So it's me singing love songs and doing poetry at the same time. And so the story behind the project is I was in a relationship and fell in love with this woman, and she, you know, broke my heart. But the relation, it was like a magnetic relationship, and so it affected me greatly. So I wrote a lot of songs about it, and thus became Love Boats, love based on a true story. So that's.
I like that. You're always smart with those little words, aren't you?
Right.
Out those acronyms. So where can people get that, and where can we find that at? Because that's something I don't know about, and I'd like to listen to it.
You can definitely find it on all the major outlets. It's on, if you have like Apple Music now. I was about to say iTunes, but it's Apple Music. Tidal has it, Spotify, YouTube.
Cool.
Whatever your vice is, it's on there.
That's awesome.
If you want the physical copy, it's also on Amazon. I'm sorry. It's also on Amazon. Physical copy. Yep.
Oh, cool. Perfect. Now, that's what I was thinking the first spot when I was thinking, where was it? Amazon. But then you were telling me YouTube and all that. So that's cool, too. So for people who aren't familiar with your story, maybe haven't heard the first episode that you did with us, give a little kind of backstory of, how it all started for you or your story in general. You know, you don't have to go too deep into it. Just give a little bit of a route so people understand where you're coming from.
Okay. So what brought me to poetry? Really was an assignment in the ninth grade. So that's really, I guess, where it all began. And what happened was my ninth grade teacher told me to write a poem about something personal. And that was the first time I was allowed to get my emotions out, because my family was, rather secretive about everything that, we were going through. And so growing up with things like HIV, and losing my mother at the age of 3 and not having a memory of her. The various things that I've gone through, not being able to have an outlet, led me to a dark depression. So when I found poetry, like when my teacher introduced me to poetry, it really changed my life. So that's where it started in the ninth grade. And then in around like 2008, 2009, I started going to an open mic called Spit That. And because I was able to be so vulnerable and so transparent, I decided to write this poem called Dandelions, which shared my HIV status publicly for the first time in a poem for me. And from there, people just started, like different organizations started inviting me out to speak and do poetry. And that kind of snowballed into who I am today as an artist.
Now, Dandelion, that's one of my favorites. That was one of the ones that you read at the conference there.
Yeah. I was so happy to do that. NAPWA was that conference was my first conference ever going to HIV. I'm sorry. It was my first HIV positive conference. And it was amazing, like meeting so many HIV positive adults, because I came up at Children's, so I only had my peers, but meeting so many different walks of life, dealing with the same thing that I was dealing with, it was really an amazing experience. And for the first time, I had never shared those poems, which are very close to my heart, with people who are dealing with the same thing that I'm dealing with. So that was an amazing experience.
Yeah, it definitely was amazing to be in the audience listening to it. It was definitely moving, kind of like it really touched my heartstrings. And that was why immediately I remember running up to you and being like, okay, before we leave this conference, Jeremy, we're sitting down with her, we're getting her information, we're finding a way to make this happen, because I never saw anybody express themselves like that. in person before. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen it maybe on TV, you know what I mean, in a movie, but to be there, you know what I mean? It felt like I was in a movie. It was just like you zoned in and just felt every word that came out of your mouth. It just felt like real. And that's why, you know, that's why everybody fell in love with you.
Yeah, it is real. It's very real.
You know, one of the poems that in the new book, Emerge, let's talk about that. You know, actually, before I go on to that, I want to just talk a little bit about your HIV history so people know where you come in that area. Can you talk a little bit on that?
Yeah. So my biological mother transitioned in 1992, and she was living with AIDS and actually succumbed to that. And so I was born HIV positive. And so in my experience, I always had Children's Hospital, I mean, from infancy. And so Children's Hospital is really, 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 they have played such a major part in my life. 'Cause we had support groups, like, you know, when I got into my adolescent years, we had support groups, we had outings, we did everything together. You name it, we did it. And so that was my HIV experience. So I had that, and then I had to come to the real world, which was like school or church. And I couldn't be HIV positive in these spaces. And so dealing with that, you know, was really, really challenging growing up.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's basically all you've ever known. So it's a little bit, you know, it's, how do I say it? It's just you, you know what I mean? I guess it's different as a kid, you know, having that and growing with it, and it's just always being there. Was it easy? Do you think it's easier to accept, but was it difficult to accept when you realized what it was and you were, you know, more able to understand it?
My initial feeling towards it was innocent, because I was in the fourth grade when I found out. So when I initially found out, it was just another thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't big to me. But what happened was I went to school the next day, and we just so happened to be talking about Ryan White that day. And so I raised my hand, and I told the whole class that I had HIV. And, you know, back in the 90s, that just wasn't okay. Because, you know, everybody knows why. and so, you know, my mom, explain this story. I have two moms. So my mother, who transitioned in 1992, and my mom, who raised me, who was my father's wife. And so when I found out, when I told the kids at school, the teacher called my mom, and she sat me down and she explained to me that, you know, basically that the world is very cruel and this is our secret. And you can basically, you know, we go to Children's and that's your space to, you know, be, you know, not that these are her words, but basically that's where you can talk about it freely. But these people don't understand. And, you know, she wanted to protect me. So I wasn't allowed to talk about it. And that was so for me to feel so great about, not even great, but for me to be okay about it and then have that experience in like the same, almost the same moment, was like really, really hard. It was a challenge after I told the class that I had HIV. It was a challenge, definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of questions. So let's move on to the book. I want to take a quick break. I want to play this week's HIV Scoop with Josh Robbins and one of this week's positive message from Rise Up to HIV and Kevin Maloney. And we will be back in probably about 3 minutes with Mary Bowman. Mary, you hold for us?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll be right back with Mary Bowman, and here is this week's HIV Scoop.
This is the all-new HIV Scoop with Josh Robbins, exclusively for Pause IM Radio. This week's buzzworthy sexual health news in under 2 minutes. Here's Josh Robbins with this week's HIV Scoop.
Well, hello, Robert and listeners. How are y'all? Are you just not feeling the holiday spirit? I tell you what, it seems like Thanksgiving and Christmas just popped on us quick. But there is one day, World AIDS Day, that I was super excited about. And there's a ton of reasons why, and we had a few surprises. Madonna. Did you see this? Madonna posted on her Twitter her own cover of Britney Spears' Toxic, honor of World AIDS Day, along with the tweet that silence equals death. Super cool. Check out some of it right now. And next, we finally heard from Tyler Orr. Now, just a quick reminder, Tyler, about 3 years ago, was charged with non-disclosure of his HIV status prior to a sexual encounter with someone, and it really blew my mind. And this has been a story that I've been following for quite some time. From the very beginning, actually, Tyler did an exclusive HIV Scoop interview with me. It was a two-part video interview, and he explained the circumstance. And since then, Tyler was advised, probably very smartly by his attorney, to hush up. And so that was the last that we have heard. And those of you that follow imstilljosh.com, we launched a viral campaign. I support for the ORR for Tyler, in support of him, the circumstance, because we believed him and there was something that just wasn't right. Well, a few weeks ago, we found out that the case was put on hold, and I desperately was just waiting for Tyler to be able to speak publicly, and he finally has, and he's thanked his supporters, and the exclusive statement that Tyler is making is available on my blog, imstilljosh.com. So you've got to check it out. It's the lead story and will be for about a week or so. All of that happened on World AIDS Day. I'm Josh Robbins. This was your HIV Scoop.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alicia. Some call me Lovely or Healed Lee. In 2001, I was diagnosed HIV positive. And you know, I had an option. Allow that diagnosis to overtake my life, or I overtake HIV. And that is exactly what I did. I took a stand. I took a stand to know that I am healed, that I am prosperous, that I am a beautiful and loving person, and I deserve to be loved. HIV does not define me. I define HIV. I'm happy, I'm inspirational, and I am vibrant. I love myself. And I encourage you that if you received any diagnosis, if you received any terrible news, take a stand, know who you are, and continue on your path to greatness. I encourage you to stay happy.
And there you have it. Thank you, Josh Robbins and Kevin Maloney. For more information on Josh, go to imstilljosh.com. Kevin Maloney, you can search Rise Up to HIV on our social media. And we are back with today's guest, author of Emerge, Mary Bowman. Mary, are you with me?
I'm with you.
You're with me. So what did you do on World AIDS Day?
So my World AIDS Day started on that Thursday. I went to Baltimore for a program done by BTAN and AHF, which is AIDS Healthcare Foundation. Yeah, so they had a program where they had a couple of different artists. We had a dancer, a singer. I did some poetry. And they also had some advocates from the community come and share their stories as well. So, and then on World AIDS Day, I did a presentation at a church, and then I ran over to a theater in D.C. and did some stuff there with along with AHF and another organization. So, yeah, you know, just doing poetry.
Oh, cool. No, that's cool. Doing your thing. So let's talk about the new book. Let's talk about Emerge. Tell me, Tell me about it. I mean, I read some of the poems. The ones that I loved were Completely Honest, Coming Out. Daddy's Demise really struck a chord with me when I was reading it, you know, because I lost my dad in 2001 to cancer. So reading some of it and the words that you used, and it just kind of really, you know, hit home with me. So tell me a little bit about, you know, tell me about what this book differs from Lotus.
This book is a deeper dive into who I am, and what makes Mary Bowman, Mary Bowman. It also represents the things that I have emerged from. Things like dealing with my emotions about my father or growing up HIV positive, you know, all of these things I am learning to, or I have to learn to emerge out of. And so that's basically what the book represents.
Which one of the poems is your favorite? Do you have one?
I don't. I got a couple. I got a couple that I really like. I don't have one favorite though.
Okay, well, do you want to read one for us? I'm sure you have one up. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
You were gonna pick one. You were gonna pick one, weren't you?
and that's the thing. I was about to say that if I had a favorite, if I had to say I had a favorite one, I guess this one that I'm going to share would be my favorite one. It's the introduction to the book, and it's called Morning. The morning is sweet, kind. You know, the kind of dew-like kiss that lingers all day, electric. The morning, a freedom dance balanced as the world turns my face toward the sun. I haven't always loved the morning, grimaced quite often as the sun broke my eyes wide open, so violent. Morning used to be a sad song, revelation that death had yet to sweep me away in the night, though countless hours I waited. Wondered what it smelt like. Death. Did it drift softly beneath bedroom doors? Will it love me as its hands take inventory of my body? Funny. I call these moments sacrifice. God called it selfish. Silly. Said I'm called to places higher than my bedroom floor. I didn't care. Too busy with these tears caught in the bottom of my throat like strands of hair with a voodoo of fear. A trauma-induced hex injected in my vocabulary, looked in the mirror and saw a shell of myself. Here's the truth. I'd never known death until it walked past my hospital room door, leaned its shoulder against the post and whispered, I heard you were looking for me. Could barely speak. I replied, yes. But I found God in the moments you left me waiting. Wasn't easy. A little empty at first. The conversations, the reacquaintance of omni-connected presence is awkward. Ask God why she is always leaving me. She said she was going to ask me the same thing. Death spoke again. Be careful what you ask for. I don't visit folks too often. Most times I'm an Uber for the soul. Let's just call this hospital stay of yours the cancellation fee. Death left me that morning to mourn what was left of me. Mornings make mercies brand new, and I found myself brand new, just like that morning. Decided against continuing to be who I was and settled for being who I wanted to be, a morning woman, intentional and whole.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's beautiful, thank beautiful. You. And just coming from you, just the way that you are saying it, like it just flows. Like, I feel like it's just natural. It's you. I mean, that's what makes it so good. You know what I mean? Like, it's pure talent. The way that you're
nobody
able to do it.
Nobody can do
is
me like
things
me.
That you do? Nobody can. Nobody. That's true. Is there any, like, things that you do, like, kind of to get yourself in that creative mood to start writing? Is there any kind of, like, routines that you do? Or?
I'm creative by nature, so the inspiration comes. Sometimes I set the mood, sometimes I don't have to, setting the mood is what I do anyway, like light incense or burn a candle, right, or listen to a song, or, you know what I'm saying? Those are things that I do regularly. So I wouldn't say that I need a certain kind of space to create.
But are there times when you're just walking around and, like, boom, something hits you and you just pull out your pad and you just,
definitely,
like, boom, and start writing it down?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And I mostly do voice notes. And when I'm on the go, music hits me. It's more music than poetry, because music is my first love. And so when I'm on the go, I sing little tunes, I make up songs, and I sing them in my little voice notes. And sometimes I go get back to them later and they become whole songs, or sometimes they're just bursts of creation.
You know, one of the ones that I, the poems that you have in Emerge, or that I kind of really felt touched, you know, when I was reading it, was Completely Honest. And, you know, it kind of talked about, you know, how everything started with you with reading it for the first time at the open mic, and then kind of moving into, you know, how at the end of the day, as everybody loved you, you didn't love yourself. I remember, you know, your words obviously, mm-hmm, are better than mine. You know what I mean? But, like,
yeah,
I got that, like, when you were there and you were meeting us and going through that, like, it was great and all that, but there was still a piece of you that was, like, you know, still needing to love
very
yourself a little bit more. And that's,
yeah,
something we all kind of, yeah, and we all struggle with that, but we hide it so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
you
can't hide it in your poetry, right? You can't seem to hide it when you write.
Right. And so that's the thing. My poetry challenged me to be real in real life. Like, that's why I like, so Emerge came because I was coming off of a hiatus. I needed to take a break because, quite honestly, I had started taking advantage of the blessing that God had given me. Like, it became like, mechanical. Somebody would invite me out and I would just come spit a poem, get the check, and, you know, bounce. And of
right.
course I would connect with people, but I wasn't being authentically 100% me. So I wanted to change for myself. So I decided to go, you know, work at a furniture store. And I was selling furniture, and, you know, I got tired of them making me lie to people about furniture prices. And so, I left the furniture store. And really my first thought for this book, quite honestly, is I need a product because I'm an artist and I need something to help propel me back to the world. That was the first thought. And then the miracle was, at gathering all of these poems, I was just like, OMG. I couldn't believe I wrote some of this stuff, like, on, like, so I'm dead honest. Like, I couldn't believe that I was literally writing myself. I was literally writing my Emerge. I was emerging in my poems. And so this book is so intentional. I'm so happy about this book. It's like if I had to say I had a favorite project, this is my favorite project.
You took my next question right now. I was going to ask you, what's the favorite thing, you know, your favorite thing that you created, you know. But I guess you kind of sold us well. Yeah, see that? Well, that's it. That's even a better reason to make people go out and get it. It's touching. Let's read I know one of the ones that you did is HIV is not a crime. Can you tell us how that came about and what made you create that one?
So I was invited to do AIDS Watch. I think it was a couple of years ago. Somebody invited me to come do AIDS Watch and, you know, do some poems. And to explain a little bit about what AIDS Watch is, it's the time where all the advocates gather to go talk to Congress and, you know, create change on a law level. And so I wanted to write something that spoke to that. And I had been hearing about this story with Adam Plendel. And when I read about the story, it inspired me to write a poem. Because I just believe that everybody should take personal responsibility for the choices that they make. And, you know, this man went to jail for having consensual sex protected. And just because you found out that he had HIV and he didn't tell you, he has to, he lost his whole freedom. I think now he has it back, but I just thought that just really rubbed me the wrong way, because that could happen. That could very well happen to me. You know what I mean? And yeah. And I know mm-hmm. how people feel about disclosure, and I totally understand that. But we all have to be responsible for what we do. Just like we have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to ask. You know what I'm saying? You don't know who you're sleeping with? Like, that's your problem, bro. Like, yeah. So right. I wrote a poem about it. And yeah.
No, it's cool. No, I was just wondering how it came about and where, because I know in there you speak of Nick Rhodes, who's been on the show and has shared his story here with us. And so, it just kind of struck a chord because I knew these people that you're speaking of, within the poem.
Right, right, right. Yeah, Nick Rhodes. Cool. I'm sorry, that's his name. Adam Plendel was the other guy. but yeah, but I hear he's doing well, right? Like now he's okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing great. From what
but
I
everybody
hear,
everybody doesn't make it. Everybody's story isn't that. So.
No, I mean even Josh was speaking about the one in the scoop earlier, Tyler Orr. I'm not real familiar with it, but it's something that he was following closely that, that obviously was within HIV criminalization. I mean, it's a big topic. It's something that, us living with HIV, we really fear, it's something that it's scary, having the conversation itself is scary, but then knowing that you could possibly prosecute it is even layer on top of layer of scary, and it's incredible. What are your thoughts on the U equals U campaign? That was kind of a big thing that they were talking about. I saw the Bruce Richmond, the founder of the campaign, on live TV in Canada. What are your thoughts on that campaign?
I have not heard about it, actually.
What? What?
Yeah, I have not heard about it. And you know what? I have not actually been in the HIV world in maybe over a year. And to explain why, I removed HIV advocate from my, my titles, I guess,
right.
How I, Mary Bowman, poet, singer, motivational speaker. I removed HIV advocate out of that because I didn't want to just be reduced to my disease. And because I, So,
yeah. I totally understand
and that's what that poem that you completely honest talks about. It's just like I kind of was thrust into this life of being an HIV advocate. Not that I didn't love every moment of it, I did, but I was thrust into it without ever making the decision that this is who I really wanted to be. So I had to make a decision, like, is this really, really, really the route I want to go? And not that I don't want to be an HIV advocate. I just want to be an advocate for people. I want to be an advocate for people living their best lives, period. Whether you have HIV, diabetes, cancer, whatever else.
I'm not sure if I lost you there. Okay, there we are. No. No, I lost you there for a second, but no, I totally understand where you're coming from, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you have you trust me. I understand where you're coming from. But anyway, the U equals U campaign, for those who are listening who may not know what it is, it's the fact that if you are HIV positive and have an undetectable viral load, you are untransmittable. You're unable to transmit the virus to your partner. You undetectable equals untransmittable. It's just a campaign that's been going on that is encouraging people to break down stigma and encouraging those living with HIV to get on treatment and become undetectable so they can have that normal love life, relationship, sex, all that things that they think that they can't have after a diagnosis. So yeah,
definitely.
So yeah, that's what that's about. But so, okay, let's go. We have a few more minutes left. So can you read one more of your poems from Emerge, and then we'll kind of leave with that.
Sure. So I have to be honest, I don't have my book in front of me. So if I stumble over a few words, that's why. But I want to share this poem called This Skin. This skin I'm in today, honey, it ain't my yesterday skin. Soft and undercounted for. Nah, this skin is like magic now. This skin didn't come with any fucks. This skin is inappropriately appropriate. This skin is finding its niche. Ain't been this bold before ever. This skin is perfect. This skin is vibrant, holy, and acceptable in the eyes of the Almighty. This skin make your skin want to know what kind of God this skin been talking to, because this skin is testimony. Shines so bright, this skin. I appreciate this skin. I worked hard for this skin. Baby, let me tell you, I love the skin I'm in.
That's beautiful. I remember reading that one right before the show started. And I love the fact that you said the skin didn't come with any fucks. I kind of,
yes.
You know, I was like, oh yeah, that's true. And it's not, it ain't my skin of yesterday skin, you know, each day, yeah. As you know, as we grow as humans and we evolve, we kind of shed layers of skin of who we are and what we want to become. So it's beautiful.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. You definitely are talented. Let me tell you that, Miss Mary. So tell me, where can people find you online? How can they contact you? Is there a website?
Yes, there's a website. You can find me at marybowman.strikingly.com. And so that has everything you need. How to get emerged, how to get love boats.
Sounds good. So we'll also put everything up on social media so people can contact you check us out on social media at Paz IM Radio. We will be returning next Sunday at 2 p.m. with our guest, Michael Hagar. And he will be, again, joining us again next Sunday, which is the 10th of December. I'm excited that he'll be joining us. He's a great guy. So let's move on to next positive message, and then we'll be played out. Hope you all have a great week, and we will see you next week.
I don't have any issues with having HIV because I've accepted it. And I know no matter what, everything's going to be okay. I have two options. Choose to be sad about it or be proactive and positive. I'd rather be happy, so I educate myself, which creates confidence. And I understand why other people make jokes or may hate it. It's because they don't understand it, so they are scared, which is a natural human reaction. So therefore, I don't take it personal. I educate them to help them feel comfortable. I stay calm and normal because my energy will be their energy. I don't care about what people think. I know the truth about HIV, and I'm okay with that. What others say does not affect my life. I have a choice to allow that energy in or not. That's theirs to keep, not mine. I know I will live. I know I can have kids without them contracting. I know I can be in a relationship and have all the sex I want. What more can I ask for? I may have less energy some days. I take meds every day. I go to the doctors every 6 months for a checkup on my health. That's not so bad to me. We gotta just accept what is, enjoy life day to day, and let the rest go. This is why I don't worry. My medicine is just a daily routine. It's not an HIV reminder. I choose to live a normal life. I mean, my life is normal. I just have a manageable virus that I take meds for. That's all.
Thanks for listening to Pause I Am Radio, your dose of hope. Connect with the show at pauseiamradio.com or on social media, and we'll see you next time.